like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, there's been a lot of really positive things about Becky Hammon. I mean, there's not a lot of bad press out there. In fact, her name was floating around as far as maybe a potential job candidate for the Toronto Raptors. Well, a little blip on the radar for Becky Hammon, former Colorado State superstar. The WNBA rescinded the Las Vegas Aces 2025 first-round pick and suspended coach Becky Hammon for 2 games following an investigation that found the franchise violated league rules regarding impermissible player benefits and workplace policies. According to the league, they announced the penalties this morning. The team violation entailed promises of impermissible benefits during contract extension negotiations for former Aces player Dearsha Hamby. The respect in the workplace violation stemmed from comments Hammond made to Hamby in connection to the latter's pregnancy. So, I don't know. The WNBA Players Association said in a statement that the league's ruling Tuesday misses the mark. Where in this decision does this team or any other team across the league learn the lesson that respect in the workplace is the highest standard and a player's dignity cannot be manipulated? So what did she say? Do we know? Angel, have you heard anything? It's the respect in the workplace violation is what it is. Stemmed from comments Hammond made to Hamby in connection to the latter's pregnancy. Not quite sure. I don't know. It's a weird thing. But Becky Hammond's going to be suspended for 2 games. I mean, is she saying, hey, are you going to be pregnant? Now, I'm just thinking out loud here. Like, if you sign a contract with us, are you going to be pregnant throughout? Angel, that's something we don't talk about. You know, I mean, you're essentially saying professional athletes, when they're in season, you can't think about that. You can't think about it before. You have to time that out just perfectly. Is that something that might have come across, like Becky Hammond to this player? Like, I know you said you want to have a kid soon. If you sign this contract, are you going to be pregnant within the contract?
Yeah, I mean, that's not something I really thought about.
I never thought about it until today.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, we spend so much time with women's sports talking about, you know, equality and stuff like that, but sometimes we overlook some of the things that are specific to women's sports, like pregnancies.
Yeah, like if you, I mean, like
it's a 9-month thing that they go through if they happen to go through that.
And, that means you're out for a season,
right? If not, you know, more with your, you know, maternity leave
and
all that
or whatever.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, 9 months. There's no 9-month off season.
You're not training. You're not working out. You're not with your team.
Do you think that was what it was? Just reading between the lines here?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I imagine it's a conversation they have a lot in the WNBA with their players.
Don't you think you have to say, hey, are you planning on having children? Like, because if you sign a 5-year contract, I'm only getting you for 4, maybe 3. I mean, it's just realistic.
It's wild.
It is wild. Never thought of it until right now. It just hit my brain. That's why I'd stuttered. Maybe Becky Hammon would do well in the NBA. Philadelphia 76ers dismissed coach Doc Rivers on Tuesday.
Oh.
This morning. That is Tuesday. Doc Rivers is gone. Let me guess. Angel, I didn't hear it. I know you guys got in a fight. I could hear yelling. I couldn't hear exactly what was going on. I was talking to Sarah back there. Tanner wants Doc Rivers if Michael Malone can't get past the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost write the script here.
Yeah. Doc's a great coach. He's a legend in the NBA. But like 3-10 in game sevens.
I asked Tanner, I said, well, what has Doc done that Malone has? And he said, well, he won a championship. I'm like, with KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Rondo.
That was a decade ago.
And that was, at that time, they were the guys. They were studs at that time. He hasn't done anything really since. He couldn't do it with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
No,
he couldn't do it.
Practically threw the Clippers into the ground and then dipped over to
Philly. Good on Doc Rivers. Here's the other thing. I'm not saying that you don't need to have the conversation about Malone. It's if that comes up, if this doesn't happen, if you get, knocking on wood, if you get swept or something like that. But I'm telling you, the devil you know, man. You can sit here and tell me Joker just became a great player on his own, or Malone helped him, and Malone became a great coach on his own, or the two of them came together and helped each other out. Those two have a great connection. Malone's out, and I know he's out there in Serbia. Yes, any you would think most coaches would do that because you're like, I got to take care of my guy. I worship you. I get that. But you also just wonder, if you remove Malone, who seems to work really well with Joker, can anybody else just plug in and work with Nikola Jokic? So here, let me caution people. Let me caution Calvin Booth, even. If something bad happens in this series that leads us to be really frustrated with Malone, be careful. You don't want to ruin Nikola Jokic. You already know that that works. My pressure is not on Michael Malone at all. In fact, my pressure would be, who are the two horses running alongside Nikola Jokic? And I'm not talking about Aaron Gordon. Totally happy with him. I think he's an unsung hero in this playoff run. But I'm saying the pressure is on your two guys, Jamal Murray and MPJ. Malone, I feel like the pressure's gone. He did what Bednar did. He needed to get past the second round. Malone got there. Now I expect more.
We can bring up the conversation of Malone and whether or not he should be with this team in the future when it's appropriate. The hours before the Western Conference Finals is not the appropriate time to talk about firing your coach.
No,
just
but
because,
he's seeing all the names come up.
Just because there's names out there doesn't mean that one of those guys is going to be better than Malone. Because at this moment, Malone has a job and those guys don't.
Who just got fired? Okay, so we got Doc Rivers, we got Monty Williams. Who else?
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse.
And the Bucks coach.
Budenholzer. Is it Budenholzer or Budden?
Budenheiser.
Budweiser. They're all championship coaches save for Monty Williams. Doc won one, Nurse won one, Budenholzer won one. But you clearly weren't. I just don't look at that and go, yeah, those are the guys. I told you this yesterday. We talked about this on the show yesterday. If you inherit a team with studs, with great players, the pressure is on. If Michael Malone would have been hired by the Golden State Warriors instead of Steve Kerr and couldn't succeed, then you probably move on pretty quickly because you're like, dude, we have the guys. I'm the GM here. I believe in our guys. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. We got the studs here. We got the dogs here. The pressure changes when you evolve with a team. And that has been what the Nuggets have been doing. They've been evolving together since Michael Malone was hired as the head coach.
And we talk about what do these other coaches, what could they offer? And you talk about championships. Current NBA coaches that have won a championship that have a job as of today, Indiana Pacers coach Rick Carlisle and Tyronn Lue.
With championships?
With championships. Also Spoelstra and Kerr. Those guys are untouchable.
Guys that aren't, would you say guys?
Guys that are currently coaching in the league.
That have championships. Steve Kerr, you mentioned him?
Steve Kerr and Spoelstra are the other two.
There's not that many on that list.
The others on that list, Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse, and Mike Budenholzer.
Budenholzer.
So you talk about, oh, these coaches have won championships. Well, two of them are off limits. You're not getting Kerr and you're not getting Spoelstra. Carlisle, he may be building something in Toronto, in Indiana, and Tyronn Lue is going to be a candidate for any of these open jobs.
And Rick Carlisle, we all know, is actually Jim Carrey.
Yes.
In real life. Dude, they look identical to each other. Go back and look at when Carlisle played. He looked just like Jim Carrey, man. And now he looks like him, but a bald version. If he had a beard like Jim Carrey, yeah. Am I right?
That's eerie.
Am I right?
That's really like when he's frowning, it's the
same guy,
face.
Dude. Put a beard on that face like Jim Carrey has, like that big old grizzled beard that they have. Same dude.
He's like an aged Ace Ventura.
Yes.
Wow.
Rick Carlisle and Jim Carrey are in fact the same person. Through recent research. McLean, what an opportunity for Murray, MPJ, and AG, who will step up the most? Well, funny you ask, McLean. That's the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who's it going to be outside of Nikola Jokic? I'm going to just keep going with my theme here. It's got to be Jamal. However, I'm going to say this to you, Angel. If we're giving out awards at the end of all this, regardless of where the Nuggets go, the Jay Norvell Grit Award, I'm creating storylines within storylines, very deep, is going to Aaron Gordon.
Absolutely.
The grit. Dude, where was Karl Anthony Towns in the Minnesota series? Still looking for him, right?
Yeah.
He got out of town.
He's doing podcasts now with Paul George.
And you can't, they were making fun of their nicknames because they couldn't spend 5 minutes just talking about Nikola Jokic, so they had to talk about nicknames. Took him out. Kevin Durant. Now, again, it was a team effort. They all kind of took turns slowing down Kevin Durant. Aaron Gordon showed him the way. Tough it up on him. Now he's got LeBron tonight. So there's the Jay Norvell Grit Award. The Primetime Pizzazz Award. I'm mixing college football with this for some reason. That's just where my head's going. The Primetime Pizzazz Award for the Nuggets. Jamal? Pizzazz.
Yeah.
Because when he's on, he's on. It's
pizzazz. He's a shining star. Like, and when he shines, it's bright.
The Ed Lamb, you know, hey, we just want to work hard and, you know, be good people and get to school on time and show up 15 minutes early and drink our milk and be good people.
It's Brucey B.
It's Bruce Brown. Shows up in his cowboy hat and gets to work. The, hey, I'm old, but I can change. Craig Bowl Award. Probably goes to, who does that go to?
Uncle Jeff.
Uncle Jeff, yes, of course. Yes, that's the Craig Bowl I'm old but I can change award.
I'm old but I can still jump.
What else? I'm tired of people overlooking me. I'm the best college football team in the state collectively. Troy Calhoun Award goes to Michael Porter Jr.?
Sure.
I'm tired of people overlooking me. That would also go to Jamal. Because what do I got to do to prove you right? This is a fun game I've just created.
The Deion Sanders.
Well, that's the
I'm the greatest guy award.
That's the Primetime Pizzazz Award.
Okay.
What else am I missing? I hit four of them, didn't I? Am I missing
the Steve Smiley Positivity Award.
You're going to go all college? The Steve Smiley Positivity Award, DeAndre Jordan?
Either him or KCP.
Yeah. How about the Nico, I ain't going anywhere Medved Award? I'm recharging.
Christian?
He's not really recharging, though.
He's not really going anywhere.
Not really going anywhere. Maybe Medved doesn't have a place in this award system. Come up with a different one, Medved. Jeff Linder, everybody's left, but I'm still here. Award.
That's DeAndre. I just wanted to mention this on Aaron Gordon yesterday on guarding Kevin Durant last series and LeBron James here. I love the challenge. I'm here to do whatever my team needs me to do. The complete opposite of Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're all really respectful of each other, too.
It's the day one media. Everyone is, they're good.
LeBron's like, I love them, they're so good. And then Joker's like, they're so good. And Gordon, they're so good. Dylan Brooks wasn't doing any of that stuff.
No.
You don't want to create unnecessary bulletin board material. For players to say that doesn't bother them, it absolutely does. It bothered LeBron James. Bulletin board material is a real thing. You don't want to give them any more oomph.
You don't give LeBron anything that he's going to throw back at you on the court.
What did we learn in that freaking documentary? You know what my biggest takeaway from that documentary was about Michael Jordan? Was that he manifested drama or a narrative that said he couldn't do it. Even if it wasn't there, he made it up. He would even tell people, nah, he didn't actually say that.
Well, it was his self-awareness as being the best player that I can't just be the best player. I have to find ways to motivate myself.
Yeah, because there's a long freaking season, and the playoffs are long, and when you've done it before a couple of times, you're kind of like, all right, how do I How do I make this one better than the last one? All right, I got to that guy. He disrespected me. George Carl didn't say hi to me at this restaurant. That's all I need.
And he wouldn't go out in the press and say this is what's motivating me for this game. It may come out after the game. It may come out 20 years later.
Yeah, you don't want to give them fuel because they're already creating fuel. LeBron's already creating fuel. He's already heard the 38-year-old thing and, you know, are the Lakers done and they're a play-in team. They've got it. They've got it built in.
The Nuggets, they only need to look at themselves in the mirror and focus on them. Yes, you have a challenge with the Lakers, but you don't need to give them anything. You have to take care of this. This isn't about what LeBron's going to do or if LeBron's going to get motivated over this one player. It's about what the Nuggets do.
6 hours away.
Wow.
6 hours away from game one.
Nerves kicking in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say pretty good at this stage. You know, got to get the shirt ready. Hasn't been washed. Ew. It's been sitting there now and
does
just
it, like,
stink.
Can it move? Like,
not yet.
Fabric?
You know, think about it. I'm not like a... You've been close to me before. I'm not... Do I have a smell? Do I stand out as a bad smell?
You're not the worst one in the office.
So... But is it
no.
a bad smell?
No.
Now I'm all self-conscious.
No.
So it's not like I'm sitting
there... You actually
there,
don't smell like anything.
I think that's a compliment.
You're just a presence in the room.
I don't absorb cologne my body absorbs cologne and deodorant. It does. Like, I don't... You can spray the fanciest of colognes from, like,
Friends.
Banage on me, and it will go away in, like, 5 minutes, because my body's like...
Nope.
Get out of here.
No, you don't smell bad, Brady.
So that's my thing. I'm sitting there for 3 hours a game, typically, 3.5. Or whatever.
Sometime.
I don't typically just drench in sweat. So it's not like it smells that bad yet. But, it's getting there. Under the piddle region. My Bradley Pitts.
It's a sleeveless shirt, though.
Well, you know the rule. Well, I guess the Suns aren't out when the Nuggets have been playing.
We just beat the Suns, so Suns are not out.
Suns were out, so the guns were out.
There you go.
Sun will be out at 6:30.
I mean, the players don't wear sleeves, so.
I got to represent. Tanner doesn't like my shirt because it has a name on the back of it. It has Nikola Jokic's name on the back of it. He doesn't think that's okay.
What jersey should I wear tonight?
I wish I had a Joker jersey. I'd wear that tonight, and I wouldn't wash it either. Or I'd wear whatever. I'd wear a Jamal jersey.
Wear a Thomas Bryant jersey.
I might.
Just for the fun of it.
Inside job. It's a whole plan. Calvin Booth's a genius. Mike Brohard coming up next. Colorado State women's basketball just extended their head coach's contract for Ryan Williams. He's linked to stay through 2027. We'll talk to Mr. Brohard about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now is the one and only Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, there's a lot of championships going around as far as conference championships throughout our areas of the state here.
Yeah, it's that kind of time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of champions, though. It's exciting. I mean, we just talked to a UNC softball coach, and I know you hold a spot near and dear to your heart for things
coach
UNC.
P. Congrats.
Yeah,
congrats.
You obviously have that connection there with CSU with her as well. But that was really exciting. Had a chance to catch up with her in the 11 o'clock hour. The women's outdoor Mountain West champs, or the outdoor track and field team got the Mountain West championship as well. So I mean, we're talking about a lot of championships lately.
Yeah, they're cruising. I mean, the women's team is one. Gosh, you just sit there and you think about it. 2019, they won indoor and outdoor. 2023, they won indoor and outdoor. Last year, they won the indoor. Bedard's got something cooking over there, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, good things are happening. It's really fun to see it, man. I love it because it's so exciting for this area to just see great sports. I know football hasn't been the greatest collectively for a lot of our teams that we talk about on the show. We think that's changing, though. We really do. But you're seeing everybody else, you know, put some successful seasons together.
Yeah, it's, you know, actually, if you sit there and think about it, the track team has been outstanding for a long time. But as of recently, they've really started to pile up trophies. And then, you know, volleyball has still been winning. Yeah, they won the regular season title in 21, and they had their long stretch of it. But, yeah, you've got some teams that are excelling, doing some things, you know, especially in the last 10 years. In this last decade, women's basketball has won titles. Yeah, and that's what you do is you sit there and you want to look at getting football and men's basketball back up there to the point where they can win Mountain West championships. And like right now, you look at the men's golf team, they were in the hunt. Unfortunately, they had like one bad hole today. They were in first at the NCAA regional. And Christoph Blyer is still leading that tournament right now.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I saw this about an hour ago or so from Colorado State Women's Basketball Twitter account. Going to sign up Ryan Williams. He's going to stay through 2027. Talk about these great coaches. That's certainly one of the good ones, too.
Yeah, Pep Riley. Yeah, you bet. He's just an energetic guy. You call him Pep Riley because he's ready to get any crowd going at any time. Doesn't matter the sport. Interesting thing about, if you want to know a little bit about Ryan, it's this. So we're out at the Mountain West basketball tournament this past year in Vegas. And the team had gotten there, and they'd settled into the hotel, and the women are about to go over to watch, you know, the game that would determine who they play in their next round the next day. And right as soon as Ryan's about to get on the bus, another bus pulls up from Colorado State. It was the band and the cheerleaders, and they started getting off the bus. So Ryan had all of his players get off the bus and applaud them as they got off the bus.
That's cool.
And then they went to the tournament. I mean, that's the kind of enthusiasm Ryan has for Colorado State. And of course, he's had successful teams. I mean, this is 21 seasons all the time. He had him in the championship game 2 years ago, semifinals this past year. You know, they're still trying to get back to winning, you know, a regular season or a tournament title themselves. But, you know, they've done it in the recent past. So it's good to have that stability, somebody you can really kind of look at for the most part. They're going to win 20 games every year.
I love that. And that's something you can't really overlook. The fact that you're just kind of always in some kind of a conversation as far as positives go. If you're kind of in that mix where, hey, yeah, they can fall asleep and win 20 games, you're always thinking about potentially you get hot in the conference tournament or what have you, and you can do something great. That's all you need. That's what you need is a chance. And a guy like Ryan Williams gives you that every single year.
Right, and if you're a fan base, isn't that what you want from your programs across the board? If you're a CSU fan, you'd like to feel like your teams are going to compete, be in the top three every year and be in contention to win the title, and you're seeing that with a lot of the programs here, and everybody's trying to get to that point. I mean, tennis had never won anything, and they're trying to get to it. Women's golf had their best season of all time. You're starting to see some things that are positive turns for a lot of programs that maybe you hadn't seen in a while.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, what do you know about Isaiah Stevens these days, man?
He's playing a lot of basketball these days, and at some point in time, he's going to make a very important decision, and I just wish young man peace when it comes time to do that.
Yeah, I bet you can't wait until that decision is made.
You know, Brady, it's just going to be one of those things. You're going to find somebody else, and you're going to bring it up next year.
Yep.
I'm sitting there, I've already looked at the football roster and go, okay, at the end of the season, who is Brady going to ask? Are they coming or are they going? Whether or not. I mean, last year, you were on the Torrey Horton bandwagon last year, and he never had any inkling.
Never a doubt in my mind, Mike.
But yet you were asking me about it all the time. I think you asked his quarterback if he was going to stay.
Oh, I asked him on the air if he was going to stay.
Yeah.
I was like, can you text him while we're on the air and ask him, put pressure on him.
What is it about our athletes that you're so excited for them to leave?
Well, it's not that I'm excited for them to leave. I'm excited for them not to leave, but I'm also excited to talk about whether or not they're going to leave.
I get it. It kind of eats up some airtime, right?
Well, it's a three-hour show, Mike. I mean, you know, I mean, we're getting ready to get into July soon, and it's going to be just rocky. Yeah. So I've got to create some narratives at some point.
You're pretty much going to have to. I'll ask you this about the Rockies. Are you with me? Doyle needs to play every day or at least 3 out of every 4 days.
I will admit, I have not been watching as much as I should have, but every time recently, in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've been watching Mr. O'Doyle Rules. It has been really, really good, so I'm excited about him. But, Mike, I just can't get excited. I can't. When I say excited, I mean I'm kind of like somewhat excited. It's hard for me to get over the moon right now about this Rockies team.
Because they're not very good, and you were very caught up with the whole Avalanche.
Yeah.
You know, them making their run, and now you've got the Nuggets getting ready to play tonight.
Yep.
You're very going to be amped. Maybe when that's done.
Maybe.
For a month, you'll watch the Rockies, and then really fall camp will start up.
And that's the thing. I always.
And then that will divert your attention, especially if the Rockies are still horrid at that time. I'd like to know what Tanner thinks.
He's obsessed with the Rockies, but he's critical of every other team in the history of the world. But the Rockies can do no wrong. And
I know, but I'd like to know what his thoughts are on Doyle. And I'd like to know why
he's obsessed with
isn't running more. I want to know why Tovar isn't running more.
I'll ask him. I'll tell you what, Tanner today. He's kind of over Bud Black, it sounds like.
Never blamed Bud Black.
He was a Bud Black apologist for a very long time. This season something has turned. And I don't know what exactly, but he has it all. He watches every single Rockies game. So that's his life, you know. It's so cows and Rockies. Yeah.
I watch a lot of baseball.
All right, I know you do. Are you going to be watching the Nuggets tonight? You watch the Nuggets tonight? 6:30?
I might turn it on. Yeah, cuz I'm kind of I think it's an interesting matchup. I think on paper, Denver, they should win. I don't think anybody should question that. But there's the LeBron factor for me. He has that ability to just deem his team as going to win a quarter, win a game, win a half. And sometimes I don't think you can stop him when he gets that in his mind. So I think that kind of makes it an interesting series. But I'd like to see Denver really, like, run that team a lot these first two games and have some old tire legs go back to L.A. for the Lakers?
Yeah, I think there's some pressure on, obviously, home court advantage and all that stuff. But, man, I think a lot of relief would pour into the Nuggets fan base if they can just make sure you take care of tonight's game. Maybe I think it's a six-point spread. Maybe win it by 6+.
Yeah, and I think the thing that would be coolest to me, if the Nuggets made the finals, because you're going back, you know, it wasn't that far back in the history where these players were just, like, creating super teams on their own to try to win titles, and that meant a team like Denver in a market that was never attracting all these big names was never going to win an NBA title. And now they actually have a very legitimate shot to win it, and I think that makes the sport more interesting for me.
I'm very excited tonight, Mike. I'm very excited. No negatives from me. All positives today.
That's
for the most
weird.
Part. Yeah.
That's a different turn for you.
Well, how about this? Fox selects CU season opener at TCU for the big noon Saturday telecast. Thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, it makes sense to me because you're going to get eyes on the broadcast. One, because TCU, you know, they made it to the championship game. And two, you've got all this attention on Deion and all the stuff that you're doing. So it gives them plenty of stuff to talk about. So there will be eyes on that game. And if you're a network, that's what you're going to look for. Now, a couple years, you know, a year from now, is there still going to be that same interest? We're going to have to see how CU actually performs because they've still got a lot of spots open on their roster, last I checked.
A lot. It's very much, and I know all teams are kind of going this route, and again, I get that, and that's how it is, but it really feels like it's an NFL free agency situation going on in Boulder. And I'm not knocking it. It's just interesting.
If you look at it, Brady, it's even worse. Because in the NFL, you at least have a salary cap, right?
Yeah.
So there's only so much that you can do. I mean, if you wanted to clear out your roster, I suppose you could, but you're not gonna make it back. Like in college football, I mean, you're seeing teams just completely transform the rosters because of the transfer portal from 1 year to the next. And if you're a rich school with a lot of NIL money, you have a chance to possibly do that. I don't think CU's got that kind of NIL money that they can throw around. It was interesting. I was reading a story, and I think we've all expected that this was happening. But The Athletic had a really good story yesterday or the day before where there are coaches that are mad because there are players in the Power 5 that are getting, like, DM'd by Power 5 schools and saying, we'd have NIL money for if you jump in the portal. And so that's ticking some coaches off because nobody's policing that. And it's not supposed to be that way, but that's kind of the way people are looking at it. And it was an interesting read.
It's very fascinating. All of this stuff is so interesting to me. And again, Mike, I think you and I have talked about it. At the beginning of all of this, I think back with the Johnny Manziel stuff, I was like, a guy should be able to sell his autograph for a couple of bucks here and there. Like, that was where I stood. Right. Like, they should be able to go out and earn a little bit.
Right.
And maybe I was naive in this, where I didn't see it taking this kind of a life. I thought it would be, you know, here and there, if Clay Millen wants to come on and do a radio show, you know, he should get a few bucks for it if it works out. But I didn't see it turning into ways to entice players to leave. I mean, I guess I kind of did, but not at this level.
No, again, I'll go back. I mean, I sat when Jeremy Bloom sued the NCAA, I sat in that courtroom, and none of this stuff was brought up. You're talking about basically every university has a community outreach program with their student athletes. They go out, they read to schools, they do community projects, they do stuff like that. When the NIL included, there's got to be a quid pro quo. A lot of schools turned that community service into what they're getting paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just community service anymore. I mean, if you think about it, the root of volunteerism isn't that you're getting anything in return. So now we're taking things where people were volunteering for and they're getting something in return. And I really don't think, I agree with you, I don't think anybody saw that coming as part of NIL. They talked about you as, going out and doing the Johnny Manziel thing. Can he sign his autograph? Can he do his own radio show? Ryan Stonehouse for years wanted to do like a kicking camp so he could raise money for a dog shelter. And he couldn't do it and put his name on it. Well, now all of a sudden he could. You know, those were things that people were talking about. You know, you looked at the fact that if the best French horn player at CSU wanted to give private lessons, they could, but yet Clay Millen couldn't privately teach some kid how to throw a football. But now you're talking about people are getting, you know, there was always, and I think people did think, like, if Peterson, you know, Toyota wanted to give somebody a brand new truck, they could do that. And they would, you know, pitch their auto dealership, right? And that was part of what people were thinking. But now it's just like, okay, now we're going to give you a truck because you're working for the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, and I love that example. I've had some of those examples too. I love that with the musician, a person in band. You know, maybe they're on some kind, because you can get a scholarship for being a band, right? So you could be going to school same as Clay Millen, but if you want to go to concerts and perform on the side, you can do all that stuff. But Clay can't, like you said, can't go and put on camps and use his talent for anything else other than football. So that's always been my biggest gripe with it. But yeah, I'll admit, I look at it now and I go, yeah, this is I wouldn't have necessarily signed off on how this is going. But Mike, this is where I thought, you know, for the NCAA, for so many years, they just kicked the can down the road. And the problem was they finally kicked the can up to this giant wall and there's nothing left to do. And you get the Supreme Court involved and here we go. I still feel like that if 20 years ago, whatever, in the Bloom situation, if you start trying to figure this out now and put the pieces together and regulate it, you might not have what we've seen in the last 2 years of just ultimately free agency.
Right, and that's part of me that I didn't understand back then, even in the day, was this was money the NCAA was not going to cost them anything. These were third parties that wanted to pay their athletes for the things that they were getting away with. And we all knew what everybody was getting away with. We're going to sell a number 11 green and gold jersey on campus in the late 90s and early 2000s, and wink, wink, it's Bradley Van Pelt. Right.
Yeah.
So they were making profit off them, and the athletes always wanted to know, why is that not it? And why in the EA sports game and, you know, in the video games, you have my likeness on there. You're using my name and what I look like. Why am I not profiting on this? This is my personal thing. And I agreed with all that. I didn't understand why the NCAA didn't step in. It wasn't going to cost them a darn thing. Other than the fact that they could have stepped in and made sure that they legislated it and everybody played by the same rules, but they didn't want to have any part of it. They were fighting this whole rule of amateurism, which had really been gone for a long time, even when you look at the Olympic model, wink, wink, that went with what the amateurs were. you know, you had national teams that were basically paying for athletes' training, okay? What was different than that? Why couldn't Jeremy Bloom, and if you think about it, back in the day, Rossignol, I think that was a ski brand that he was. I can't be 100% sure, but let's just use them. Do you think they care that he played college football? No, they wanted him because he was a world champion. They wanted him because he was the youngest member ever to be named to the U.S. ski team. They wanted to sponsor him. And he wasn't like he was making a ton of money, but he was getting a ton of equipment.
Yeah.
United was sponsoring his flights for him to go to, you know, all these places for his ski camps and stuff with the U.S. ski team. That's fine. That had nothing to do with him being a football player. You know, Oakley goggles, I think, is what he had. They weren't even making visors for football helmets at the time. There was nothing that Jeremy Bloom was drawing income from that related anything to the CU football program.
Yeah, and that's why, again, that's why it was just, this was so insane to me that they couldn't make money off their likeness, and then we've gone so far the other way. Mike, I never know where our conversations are going to go, but I absolutely love them. Paul Kirk loves our conversations as well. He shouted out to you on Twitter.
Paul Kirk is being a real funny guy.
I know that story, too.
Do you know this joke?
I do know the story, and there's a connection coming up in the 1 o'clock hour to that story, Mike, and I won't even say it. I won't say it.
You're not going to say it. Okay. Maybe I'll listen to it through the 1 o'clock hour. And see
it's
it.
Somebody that you know.
Well, I'm sure it is now. Especially if he's popping this. If Paul's popping this off,
yes.
This is going to be funny.
Well, it's not Paul, but it's somebody.
I know. But Paul knows a reference to this. And he never – I still talk to him, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And even though he hired me and then quit a week later.
I know. What was that about? The bait and
because
switch.
Because he hired me, I think he realized the error of his ways.
Yeah.
So he ran off to Utah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that gets brought up at least three times a year for me.
I don't know if Paul was supposed to tell me that story, but it was fun. Obviously, you and I are best friends, so he's like, you guys ain't going to hurt anything.
We've had beers together.
Yeah, and we will soon. We're doing it soon.
Well, we've had them in the past, too.
Yeah, and it's going to happen very, very soon, Mike, when things slow down finally.
Locations.
Yes. Yeah. At Timnath Beer Works, you and me. I shouldn't tell anybody that, because then they'll want autographs, but we won't give the date and time.
They might want yours, but if you wear sunglasses, maybe they won't recognize you.
That's what I try to do, Mike. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The entourage usually gives me away.
That's fine.
Mike, my friend, appreciate you, and you hang in there. Let's talk to you soon.
You have a lovely day, sir.
All right, you too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Paul Kirk was the interim assistant AD or whatever of information, whatever Neves' role is at CSU. Now he's with Utah. He's big wig. He was for the Broncos for a while, too. But we have a fun little inside joke. And it does involve an interview within the 1 o'clock hour. So it's really full circle here. His name rhymes with Schmick Schrombardi. 12:46 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, before I take a break here, because that was Mike Brohard's awesome. I think those interviews have evolved into something that I can't even define. And maybe those are the best interviews. I'm about to do something right now, Angel, that I have never done on this show. I've never done it. I've been doing this show for a long time and variations of this show. I've never done it. I'm going to admit that I was somewhat wrong. Somewhat wrong.
Somewhat.
Dixon said, you know, long old text here, said, you shouldn't say we didn't see it come. It's not true. I'm saying I was somewhat wrong. I didn't see what you were saying, I didn't think that was going to come to fruition. What we're seeing with NIL and transfer portal, the way it is right now today. I still agree with all of it in some regard, in some fashion, but it's gotten out of hand. Dixon, a diehard Hall of Famer, he's also the arch nemesis of the show. I'm going to give you your flowers today. I'm giving you your flowers. Congratulations. You were right about this. And at that, I'm going to go take a break and throw up in the bathroom. We'll be back for the wrap-up of the second hour of the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Less than 6 hours away. Game one. Denver Nuggets host the Los Angeles Lakers.
We need everybody up on your feet. No one's sitting in your seat. Yeah, let's go.
I follow that guy on social medias. Do you follow him?
I don't, but he's cool. He's a really cool PA.
That is my favorite thing that you've ever said, and you've said some great things. But
he's,
I love
he's
that
just, he's got some good calls, man.
He
he's
does. Just... how many does Ball Arena hold? How many seats?
3 billion people.
3 billion people. Let me. I'm a 21,000. How many of those 21,000? Because it's a sellout, right?
Be packed. It better be.
How many of those 21,000 are Lakers fans? 2,000? Or no, just two people? Just two people.
Just two people.
I think playoffs, I always get weird on this, but I hate opposing fans coming to games. I get it. I don't flip out if I see a Chiefs fan at a Broncos home game and it's a Broncos Chiefs. But I do have a weird, it's in the playoffs, and especially more intimate locations like basketball arenas and hockey arenas. Because it's half the people, typically. I really wish they could say, hey, no. If you're a Lakers fan, you got to tell me. Tell me. They would just lie and say, I'm not a Lakers fan. But then they would go against the Lakers, and that would be bad karma, and you guys would lose.
I'm okay with it, because I've been that fan that's been to the opposing team watching my team play.
But during the playoffs?
No. But I'm always aware that I am in enemy territory. Any jeer, any chant, any boo that you throw out there,
they get you.
You are surrounded by at least 20,000 Nuggets fans.
And about 18 drunk uncles.
Yes.
Drunkles.
And somewhere in that arena are Nikola Jokic's brothers, and they will track you down.
I heard Darvin Ham say his solution to stopping Joker was to kidnap him. And I'm like,
good luck.
Goodbye, his bros. Good luck with that. Yeah, that ain't happening. Darvin, that's called illegal, first off, bro.
Darvin ham and cheese sandwich?
Yeah, that's illegal to kidnap someone.
Is that a threat?
That should be penalized.
Do we have watch on Nikola Jokic?
Minus 10 points for the Lakers.
We have a few hours. We need to make sure he gets to the stadium okay.
Yeah, I would be checking on that, because that was a full-on threat. You might consider firing him. Just saying, L.A., that's the kind of coaches you want. Well, County Swami, at least 3,000 of them will be Lakers fans. I don't agree. I don't disagree, I think. I think there are going to be 3,000 fans there.
There are a lot of California transplants here in Colorado. A lot of them may or may not be bandwagon fans.
We got to go, Angel. Whole show, third hour coming up next.